Is just remember people go to art galleries on their day off.
Yes! You have a responsibility to your audience.
Only artists. The conversation begins with Grayson Perry and Naomi Alderman.
Hello, Naomi.
Well, it's lovely to meet you.
Next Wednesday morning at 9 on BBC Radio 4.
This Sunday night at 9 on BBC Radio 3, it's time now for Drama on 3. And this week, a rare opportunity to hear one of Shakespeare's less often performed plays, Pericles, adapted for radio by Neil Bartlett, with Willard White as Gower and Papa Esiedu as Pericles. Prepare for a roller coaster journey of murder, intrigue, shipwrecks, and prostitution, tearing a king's family apart.
To sing a song that old was sung, from ashes ancient Gower is come, assuming man's infirmities to glad your ear and wake your eyes. If you, born in these latter times, when wits were ripe, accept my rhymes, and that to hear an old man sing may to your wishes pleasure bring, I life would wish, and that I might waste it for you like taper light. This, this Antioch, then. Antiochus the Great built up this city for his chiefest seat. This king unto him took one fair, who died and left a female heir, so buxom, blithe, and full of face as heaven had lent her all his grace, to whom the father liking took, and her to incest did provoke. Bad child, worse father, to entice his own to evil should be done by none. But custom, once they did begin, was with long use accounted no sin. The beauty of this sinful dame made many princes thither frame to seek her as a bedfellow, a marriage pleasure's playfellow, which to prevent he made a law to keep her still and men in awe, that whoso asked her for his wife, a riddle told not, lost his life. So for her many a prince did die, as this dark cell might testify. What now ensues, unto your eye I give my cause, who best can justify.
Young Prince of Tyre, you have at large received the danger of the task you undertake.
I have, Antiochus, and with a soul emboldened with the glory of her praise, think death no hazard in this enterprise.
Bring in our daughter.
Sir.
Clothed like a bride for the embracements even of Jove himself. See where she comes. Her face, the book of praises, where is read nothing but curious pleasures, as from thence sorrow were ever raised.
You gods that made me mad and sway in love, that have inflamed desire here in my breast to taste as fruit of yon celestial tree or die in the adventure, be my helps as I am son and servant to your will.
Prince Pericles,
That would be son to great Antiochus.
Before thee stands a fair Hesperides, with golden fruit, but dangerous to be touched. Her face, like heaven, enticeth thee to view her countless glories, which desert must gain, but which, if without desert, thine eye presumes to reach, then Pericles must die. Yon sometimes famous princes. Like thyself were drawn by report, adventurous by desire. Now their dead cheeks advise thee to desist from going on death's net, whom none resist.
Antiochus, I thank thee, who have taught my frail mortality to know itself, and by those fearful objects to prepare this body, like to theirs, to what I must. For death remembered should be like a mirror, who tells us life's but breath, to trust it, error. Thus, ready for way of life or death, I wait the sharpest blow, Antiochus.
Scorning advice. Read this riddle, then.
Which read and not expounded, 'tis decreed, as those before him, Pericles shall bleed.
Of all said yet, sir, mayst thou prove prosperous. Of all said yet, I wish thee happiness.
Read the riddle. Read it.
I am no viper, yet I feed on mother's flesh which did me breed. I sought a husband in which labor I found that kindness. And a father, he's father, son, and husband mild. I, mother, wife, and yet his child. How this may be, and yet in two, as you will live, resolve it you. Sharp physic is that last. O you powers, that give heaven countless eyes to view men's acts, why cloud you not their sights perpetually, if this be true, which makes me pale to read it? Fair glass of light, I loved you. And could still, were not this glorious casket stored with ill. But I must tell you now, my thoughts revolt. For he's no man on whom perfections wait, that knowing sin within will touch the gate.
You. You, madam. Are a fair vial. And your senses strings, which, fingered to make man lawful music, would draw heaven down and all the gods to hearken. But being played upon before your time...
Prince Pericles, touch not upon thy life!
Well, that's an article within our lore, as dangerous as the rest. Your time's expired.
Either expound now, or receive your sentence.
Great king, few love to hear the sins they love to act. Who has a book of all that monarchs do? He's more secure to keep it shut than shown.
Heaven, he has found the meaning. But I will close with him.
Young Prince of Tyre, though by the tenor of our strict edict, your exposition misinterpreting, we might proceed to cancel of your days, yet hope, succeeding from so fair a tree as your fair self, doth tune us otherwise. 40 days longer we do respite you. If, by which time our secret be undone, our mercy shown will joy in such a son. And until then, your entertainment be as doth befit our honour and your worth. Take her away.
Sir!
Prince, adieu.
courtesy would seem to cover sin. O king, you're both a father and a son by these untimely claspings with your child. Which pleasure fits an husband, not a father?
And she, an eater of her mother's flesh, by this defiling of her parents' bed, and both like serpents, who, though they do feed on sweetest flowers, yet they poison breed. And?
Wisdom states, a man who blushes not in actions black as night will shun no course to keep them from the light. One sin I know another doth provoke. Murders as near to lust as flame to smoke. Then, lest my life be cropped to keep him clear, by flight I'll shun the danger which I fear. Antioch, farewell.
He hath found the meaning. I must not live to trumpet forth my infamy. Who attends us there?
Doth your highness call?
Talio, you are of our chamber. Our mind partakes her private actions to your secrecy. Behold, here's poison, and here's gold. We hate this Prince of Tyre, and thou must kill him. It fits thee not to ask the reason why, because we bid it. Say, is it done?
My lord, 'tis done.
Enough. Enter!
Sir, the Tyrian ships have left the harbour. Prince Pericles is fled.
As thou wilt live, fly after.
Sir!
Taliard, adieu.
My lord.
Till Pericles be dead, my heart can lend no succour to my head.
Antioch, farewell. In Tyre, now see where fear takes root, no peace can be.
Helicanus, what news?
Sir, there's none. And you do not well to hide yourself, locked up in your chamber.
What wouldst thou have me do?
Bear with patience such griefs as you yourself do lay upon yourself.
Thou speak'st like a doctor, Helicanus. Attend me then. I went to Antioch, where, as thou knowest, against the face of death, I sought the purchase of a glorious beauty from whence an issue I might propagate. Her face was to mine eye beyond all wonder. The rest, shame, 'tis to speak, as black as incest.
Sir.
Which by my knowledge found, the sinful father seemed not to strike, but smooth. 'Tis time to fear when tyrants seem to kiss. Such fear so grew in me, I homeward fled. And being here, bethought me what was past, what might succeed. If he should doubt, as no doubt he now doth, that I should open to the listening air how many worthy princes' blood he shed to keep his bed of blackness unlaid ope, to lock that doubt, he'll fill this land with arms.
Give experience tongue.
Counsel me how to avoid this danger.
Well, my lord, since you have given me leave, freely will I speak. Antiochus, you fear. And justly, too, I think. Absence abates that edge that presence whets. Therefore, my lord, go, travel for a while, till that his rage and anger be forgot. Keep your intent wither from your subjects, as private as your journey is sudden. Your rule direct to any, if to me. Day serves not light more faithful than I'll be.
I do not doubt thy faith. But should he wrong our liberties in my absence?
We'll mingle our bloods together in the earth.
Very well.
Tyre, thy prince must look from thee to Tarsus.
Yes, to Tarsus I intend my travel, where I'll hear from thee,
sir,
and by your letter shall dispose myself. The care I had and have of my subjects' good on thee I lay, whose wisdom strength can bear it.
And do you hear the Caners?
Joy, keep your mind till you return to us. Peaceful and comfortable, my lord.
So, this is Tyre, and this the court. Here must I kill Pericles, and if I do it not, I'm sure to be hanged back at home. Dangerous. He was a wise fellow, that, being bid to ask what he would of his king, desired he might know none of his secrets.
Good morning!
Oh, hush.
You shall not need, my fellow peers of Tyre, further to question me of your king's departure. This sealed commission, left in trust with me, doth speak sufficiently. He's gone to travel.
What?
Being at Antioch, Antiochus, on what cause I know not, took some displeasure at him. At least he judged so. Though doubting truly he had erred or sinned, to show his sorrow he'd correct himself, so puts himself into the shipman's toil, with whom each minute threatens life or death. Thank you.
So, he's gone. My king's ear, this must please. He's scaped on land to perish on the seas.
Lord Talliard, from Antioch, you are welcome.
I came with message unto princely Pericles, but from your speech I have understood your lord has betook himself to unknown travels. My message must return from whence it came.
We have no reason now to hear it. Commended to our master, not to us. Yet, ere you shall depart, this we desire. As friends to Antioch, let us feast you here in Tyre.
Who wanteth food and will not say he wants it? Who can conceal his hunger if he famish? This Tarsus.
This Tarsus, o'er which I held the government, was a city on whom plenty held full hand, whose towers bore heads so high they kissed the clouds, where tables were stored full to glad the sight and not so much to feed on as delight, where poverty was scorned and pride so great the name of help was odious to repeat.
Oh, that's too true.
But see what heaven can do. See this our change. Those mouths who but of late, earth, sea, and air, were all too little to content and please, they are now starved for want of exercise, would now be glad of bread, and beg for it.
Those mothers who do nozzle up their babes thought naught too curious are ready now to eat those little darlings whom they loved.
Where's the Lord Governor? Where's the Lord Governor?
Here.
We have descried upon our neighbouring shore a portly sail of ships make hitherward.
I thought as much. One sorrow never comes but brings an heir.
By the semblance of their white flags displayed, they bring us peace.
Thou speak'st like hymns untutored to repeat, who makes the fairest show means most deceit. But bring they what they will, what need we fear? The ground's the lowest, and we're halfway there.
Go, tell their general we attend him, to know for what he comes, and whence he comes, and what he craves.
Lord Governor, Lord Governor, for so we hear you are. Let not our ships and number of our men be like a beacon fired to amaze your eyes. For these our ships are stored with corn to make your needy bread and give them life whom hunger starved half dead.
Oh, the gods of heaven protect you.
Sir, I add my prayers.
Arise, I pray you, rise. We do not look for reverence, but for love and harborage for ourself, our ships and men.
Which, when any shall not gratify, or pay you with unthankfulness in thought, be it our wives, our children, or ourselves.
The curse of heaven and men succeed their evils. Till when, the which I hope shall ne'er be seen, your grace is welcome to our town and us.
Which welcome we'll accept. Rest here a while, until our stars, that frown, lend us a smile.
Until his stars, that frown, lend him a smile. Here have you seen a mighty king, his child no less to incest bring. A better prince and a benign lord who will prove worthy, both in deed and word. Good Helicane, who stayed at home not to eat honey like a drone from others' labors, but to strive to kill and bad, keep good alive. Now, to fulfill his prince desire, he sends word here to Tarsus of all that haps in Tyre.
My lord, a letter.
Telling.
Taliard?
How Taliard came full bent with sin and had intent to murder him.
To murder me?
And that in Tarsus 'twas not best for Pericles to stay and rest.
He gods.
He, reading this, puts forth to seas, where when men been there seldom ease, for now the wind begins to blow. Thunder above and deeps below make such unquiet that the ship, should house him safe, is wrecked and split. And he, good prince, having all lost, by waves from coast to coast is tossed, all perishing of man, of pelf, nay, aught escaping but himself. Then fortune, tired with doing bad, throws him ashore to give him glad. And here he lies. What shall be next? Pardon, old Gower, that longs the text.
Cease your ire, you angry stars of heaven. Wind, rain, thunder, remember earthly man is but of substance that must yield to you. And I, as fits my nature, do obey. Let it suffice the greatness of your powers to have bereft a prince of all his fortunes, and have enthroned him from your watery grave, here to have death in peace. Is all he'll crave.
Watch!
But who approaches?
Hey!
Or friend? Or foe? I'll hide myself to hear.
Ne'er comes aboard, but I look to be washed.
Oh, now he stirrest.
What say you, master?
Come away, or I'll fetch thee with a wanion. Untangle that.
Hey, master, I was thinking of the poor men that were cast away before us even now. It grieved my heart to hear what pitiful cries they made for us to help them.
Well, I say, we could scarce help ourselves.
Oh, pox. Take this knotting.
Master, I marvel how the fishes live in the sea.
Why, as men do a land, the great ones eat up the little ones.
Peace be at your labour, honest fisherman. Your help I must demand.
Honest, sir? What's that?
He asks of you that never used to beg.
No, master. Cannot you beg?
as them in our country here gets more with begging than we do with working.
What I have been, I have forgot to know. And what I am, want teaches me to think on. A man thronged up with cold. My veins are chill, and have no more of my life than may suffice to give my tongue that heat to ask your help, which, if you refuse, when I am dead, for that I'm a man, pray, see me buried.
Die, quotha? God forbid! I have my jersey here! Come, put it on! Keep thee warm. Now, before me, a handsome fellow. Come, thou shalt go home and we'll have flesh for holidays, fish for Fridays, and, moreover, puddings and flapjacks, and thou shalt be welcome.
Aye, thank you, sir.
I'll go draw up the other net. Pilch!
Aye?
Move!
Oh!
Do you know where you are, sir?
Not well.
Why then, I'll tell you. This shore is called Pentapolis, and our king, the good Simonides.
Oh, the good King Simonides, you call him.
Aye, sir, and he deserves so to be called, for his peaceable reign and good government.
He is a happy king if he gains from his subjects the name of good by his government. How far is his court?
Half a day's journey. Here. I tell you what, he hath a fair daughter, and tomorrow is her birthday. And there are princes and knights come from all parts of the world to joust and tourney for her love.
Were my fortunes equal to my desires, I could wish to join them.
Help, master, help! There's some great fish hangs in the net like a poor man's case in the law. Will hardly come out.
I come. Will you help, sir?
I see it, master. I see it. There, just there.
Plague on it. Tis come at last, and tis turned to a rusty armour.
My dead father did bequeath this to me. It kept where I kept. I so dearly loved it. Till the rough seas that spare not any man took it in rage. They, calmed, have given it again. My shipwrecks now know ill.
What mean you, sir?
To beg of you, kind friends, this coat of worth, and that you'll guide me to your sovereign's court, where with this I may appear a gentleman.
Why?
Wilt thou tourney for the lady?
I'll show the virtue I have borne in arms.
Take it, and the gods give thee good on.
Help me on. By your furtherance, I am clothed in steel, in spite of all the rapture of the sea. Only, my friends, I yet am unprovided of a pair of paces.
Thou shalt have my best pair, and I'll bring thee to the court myself.
Then honour be but equal to my will. This day I'll rise, or else add ill to ill.
Come!
This day he'll rise, or else...
They say there's one knight most meanly habited...
In rusted armour and old bases.
Gentlemen, the king approaches.
Are the knights ready to begin the triumph?
They are, sir, and stay but your coming to present themselves.
Return them, we are ready. And our daughter, in honour of whose birth these triumphs are.
Excuse me.
Father, saving your presence, gentlemen.
And to them in addition say, our daughter sits here like beauty's child, whom nature gat for men to see, and seeing wonder at.
My lord, I will.
It pleaseth you, my royal father, to express my commendations great, whose merits less.
'Tis fit it should be so. For princes are a model which heaven makes like to itself. As jewels lose their glory if neglected, so princes their renowns if not respected. It is now your honor, daughter, to decipher the labor of each knight in his device, as he presents himself at Cupid's court.
Which task to preserve mine honor I'll perform.
My lord, the knights.
Gentlemen, welcome.
Sir.
Now, daughter, say, who is the first that doth proffer himself?
The first is, it seems, a knight of Sparta, my renowned father. And the device he bears upon his shield is a black Ethiop reaching at the sun with the words, Lux tua vita mihi.
You are the light of my life.
And who the second that presents himself?
The second is a prince of Macedon, my royal father. And the device he bears upon his shield is an armed knight that's conquered by a lady. The motto's in Spanish. Pupil d'Osora que por fuerza.
Won by tenderness, not force.
And what's the third?
The third's from Antioch. And his device, a wreath of chivalry. The words, may Pompey provexit apex.
You inspire me to glory.
And what has the fourth?
A burning torch that's turned upside down. The word, quod me alit, me extinguit.
Who feeds me, burns me.
Which shows that beauty hath its power, and will, as well as it inflames, can also kill.
And the fifth has a hand environed with clouds, holding out gold that's by the touchstone tried. The motto thus, seek spectanda fides.
Faith must be tested thus.
What is this sixth and last?
Shame, shame.
Of which the knight with such a curious courtesy delivers.
He seems to be a stranger. He presents a withered branch. It's only green at top. The motto, in hac spe vivo.
You are my only hope. Save me.
A pretty moral. From the dejected state wherein he lies, he hopes by you his fortunes yet may rise.
Yes.
So, to the tourney then. Daughter, lead the way.
She is your only hope. Your only hope.
You are my only hope. You are my only hope. You are my only hope. You are my only hope. You are my only hope. You are my only hope. You are my only hope. Save me!
And the stranger has it. The stranger knight wins. He wins. He wins.
Sir Knights, I thank you. To say your welcome were superfluous, to place upon the volume of your deeds, as in a title page, your worth in arms were more than you'd expect, or more than's fit, since every worth in show commends itself. Prepare for mirth. Mirth becomes a feast. You are princes, and all my guests, daughter.
Thank you, Father. But you, stranger, are my special guest. To whom this wreath of victory I give and crown you king of this day's happiness.
Come, queen of the feast. The daughter, so you are. Here, take your place next to me. Marshal the rest as they deserve their grace. You, sir.
Sir?
On the other side.
Some other seats more fit.
Sit, sir, sit.
I am honored much, madam.
Sir.
By Jove, I wonder. That is king of thoughts. These meats resist me. She, but thought upon.
By Juno, that is queen of marriage. All viands that I eat do seem unsavory. Wishing him my meat.
He's but a country gentleman, has done no more than other knights have done, has broken a staff or so. So let it pass.
To me, he seems like diamond seems to glass.
Thaisa, your knight doth sit too melancholy, as if the entertainment in our court had not a show might countervail his worth. Note it not you?
What's that to me, my father?
To make his entertainment sweet, here. Say we drink this glass of wine to him.
Alas, my father, it befits not me unto a stranger knight to be so bold. He may my proffer take for an offence.
Do as I bid you, or you'll move me else. And furthermore, tell him we desire to know of him of whence he is, his name and parentage.
I shall, sir. Now, by the gods, he could not please me better. The king, my father, sir, would drink to you, wishing it so much blood unto your life.
I thank both him and you and pledge him freely. Sir?
And further, he desires to know of you, of whence you are, your name and parentage.
A gentleman of Tyre. My name, Pericles. My education's been in arts and arms. Who, looking for adventures in the world, was by the rough seas reft of ships and men, and, after shipwreck, driven upon this shore, where thou dost live.
I do, sir.
And now his stars that frowned lend him a smile.
What news, then, daughter? Of our stranger knight.
He thanks you, father, names himself Pericles, a gentleman of Tyre, who only by misfortune of the seas is bereft of ships and men cast on this shore.
Now, by the gods, I pity his misfortune, and will awake him from his melancholy. Come, gentlemen. Gentlemen, we sit too long on trifles and waste the time which looks for other revels. The hour arrives now for our victor's dance. And come, Sir Pericles. Here's a lady that wants breathing. And I've heard you knights of Tyre are all well skilled in making ladies trip. And that your dances there are excellent.
In those that practice them, they are, my lord.
Oh, that's as much as you would be denied. Come, daughter.
Father, I obey. Sir?
Madam?
Music. Strike.
Most heavenly music. It stirs them into quickening, and each hangs upon the other's eyes. They,
you,
are each other's.
Are my only
hope.
Hope.
Unclasp, unclasp. The music sure is ended. And now, good night. Thanks, gentlemen, to all. All have done well. But you, Sir Stranger, the best.
Please. Helicanus! My lord! Lord Helicanus!
No! No!
Good gentlemen of Tyre, know this of me. Antiochus from incest lived not free.
What? This is...
For which the most high gods, not minding longer to withhold the vengeance that they had in store, even in the height and pride of all his glory, when he was seated in a chariot of an inestimable value and his daughter with him, a fire from heaven came and shriveled up their bodies, even to loathing.
How very strange.
Hear, hear.
It was but justice, for though this king were great, his greatness was no guard to bar heaven's shaft. Sin has its reward. And now, my lords...
Lord Helicane, a word.
With me, most welcome.
Know then, our griefs are risen to the top.
Indeed.
And now at length must overflow their banks.
Your griefs for what? Wrong not the prince you love.
Wrong not ourselves then, noble Helicane. If our prince still lives... Let us salute him.
And know what grounds made happy by his breath.
If in the world he live, we'll seek him out. If in his grave he rest, we'll find him there.
Sirs...
We'll be resolved. He lives, he governs us. He's dead, gives us cause to mourn his funeral. And let us have a free election.
Hear, hear.
And if this kingdom is without a head... Your noble self that best know how to rule and how to reign.
For honour's cause, forbear these suffrages. If that you love Prince Pericles, forbear. A 12-month longer, let me entreat you further sustain the absence of your king. If in which time expired he not return, I shall with aged patience bear your yoke. Meanwhile, go. Search, as noble subjects, search for your king, whom if you find and win unto return, you shall, like diamonds, sit about his crown. Gentlemen?
Well, since Lord Helicane enjoineth us, we with our travels will endeavour it.
Hear,
hear!
Hear, hear!
Thank you, gentlemen. To wisdom, he's a fool that will not yield.
To love, he is a fool that will not yield. This, Pentapolis, and this...
This is my daughter's letter.
That's right. And...
She tells me here she'll wed the stranger knight, or nevermore she'll view nor day nor light. I like him well. How absolute she is. Well, I do commend her choice, and will no longer have it be delayed. But soft, here he comes. I must dissemble.
All fortune to the good Simonides.
To you as much, sir.
I am beholding to you for that sweet music this last night. I do protest my ears were never better fed with such delightful, pleasing harmony.
Sir, you are music's master when you dance.
Oh, the worst of all her scholars, my good lord.
What do you think of my daughter, sir?
A most virtuous princess.
And she is fair, too, is she not?
As a fair day in summer. Wondrous fair.
Sir, my daughter thinks very well of you.
I am unworthy.
She thinks not so. Peruse this writing else.
Sure. This is a king's subtlety again. To have my life.
Thou hast bewitched my daughter.
By the gods, I have not.
Traitor, thou liest.
Traitor?
Aye, traitor.
Who calls me traitor? I return the lie.
Now, by the gods, I do applaud his courage.
I came unto your court for honor's cause, and he that otherwise accounts of me, my sword shall prove his honor's enemy.
Oh? Oh?
Father?
Here comes my daughter. She can witness it.
Father, what noise?
Madam, as you are virtuous, resolve your angry father. If my tongue did e'er solicit, or my hand subscribe to any syllable that made love to you.
Why, sir, say if you had. Who takes offence at that would make me glad?
Yea, mistress, are you so peremptory? I am glad, aunt, with all my heart. Will you...
not having my consent, bestow your love and your affections upon a stranger? A straggling Theseus, born we know not where? Who, for aught I know, may be as great in blood as I myself. Therefore hear you, mistress. Either frame your will to mine, and you, sir, hear you. Either be ruled by me, or I will make you man and wife. Nay, come. Your hands and lips must seal it too. Thus being joined, I the past destroy. And for a further grief, God give you joy. Well, are you both pleased?
They stand amazed, but loving eye, then hands, then lips. Doth love's not tie?
What, are you both agreed?
Yes.
If it please your majesty.
It pleaseth me so well, I'll have you wed. And then, with what haste you can, get you to bed.
Now sleep is slaked, hath all rout. No din but snores the house about, made louder by the o'er-fed breast of their most pompous marriage feast. The cat, with eyen of burning coal, now crouches for the mouse's hole. And crickets at the oven's mouth sing. Hymen now brings the bride to bed, where by the loss of maidenhead a babe is molded. Now attend, and time that I so briefly spend with your fine fancies augment each. What's dark to see, I'll plain with speech. 8 moons pass, then 9. Meanwhile, by many a drear and painful perch, for Pericles the careful search is made, with all due diligence of horse and sail and high expense, to the 4 opposing coins, which the world together joins, is made the quest. At last, from Tyre.
My lord.
What news?
Seeking answer to desperate inquire, to the court of King Simonides are letters brought, the tenor these. Antiochus and his daughter dead, the men of Tyrus on the head of Helicanus would set on the crown of Tyre, but he will none. The mutiny he there tries to oppress, says to him, if King Pericles come not home within 3 moons, he, obedient to their dooms, will take the crown. The news of this brought from Tyre to Pentapolis, he ravished the regions round, and every one with claps does sound, or heir apparent is a king. Who dreamed, who thought of such a thing? Brief, he must depart to Tyre. His queen with child makes her desire. Which who shall cross? Along to go. Amid we all their dole and woe, Lycorida her nurse she takes. And so, to sea. Their vessel shakes on Neptune's billow. Half the flood hath their keel cut, when fortune's mood varies again. The grisly north disgorges such a tempest forth that, as a duck for life that dives, so up and down the poor ship drives. The lady shrieks, and well anear does fall in travail with her fear. What now ensues in this fell storm shall for itself perform. It were best witnessed, not told. In your imagination hold, you see a ship upon whose deck the sea-tossed Pericles appears to speak.
god of this great vast, rebuke these surges which wash both heaven and hell. And thou, that hast upon the wind's command, bind them in brass, having called them from the deep. Oh, still thy deafening, dreadful thunders. Gently quench thy nimble, sulphurous flashes. Diana, O divinest patroness and midwife gentle to those that cry by night, convey thy deity aboard our dancing boat. Make swift the pangs of my queen's travails.
Oh, my God.
My corridor. What news?
Here is a thing too young for such a place. Oh, if it had conceit, it would die, as I am like to do. Take in your arms this piece of your dead queen.
How, my corridor?
Patience, Otse. Do not assist this storm. Here's all that is left living of your queen. A little daughter, for the sake of her. Be manly and take comfort.
Oh, ye gods. Why do you make us love your goodly gifts and snatch them straight away?
Oh, precious Utse, even for this charge.
Mild be thy life. For a more blusterous birth had never babe. Thou hast as chiding a nativity as fire, air, water, earth, and heaven can make to herald thee from the womb. Poor inch of nature.
Courage, sir. God save you.
Courage enough. I do not fear the storm it hath done to me the worst. Yet, for the love of this poor infant, this fresh new seafarer, I would it would be quiet.
Sir, your queen must overboard. The sea works high, the wind is loud, and they will not lie quiet till the ship be cleared of the dead.
That's your superstition.
Call it what you please, sir. But with us at sea, it hath been still observed, and we are strong in custom. Therefore, briefly yield her, for she must overboard straight.
Sir, the necessity of the time affords no delay.
Sir, 'tis for your safety and the babe.
As you think meet, then.
Her body lies within, sir.
Then lead us on.
My lord, there she lies.
Terrible childbed hast thou had, my dear. No light, no fire. The unfriendly elements forgot thee utterly. Nor have I time to give thee hallowed to thy grave. Thy corridor.
Sir.
Bid Nesta bring me spices, ink, and paper. A casket with her jewels. And bid Nicander bring me the Sutton cover. Suddenly, woman, I'll keep the child.
Yes, sir.
Shh.
Sir, we have a chest beneath the hatches, corked and bettumed ready.
I thank thee. Say, what coast is near?
We are near Tarsus.
And canst thou reach it?
By break of day, if this wind cease.
Alter our course, and make for Tarsus. There I'll visit Cleon, for this new babe cannot hold out to Tyre. Go thy ways. You may have the body presently.
Sir.
No, 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 no.
I've been in many, but such a storm as this, till now, I ne'er endured.
A turbulent night?
Mom.
It is most strange nature should be so conversant with pain, being thereto not compelled. Give this to the apothecary. Tell me how it works.
Mom.
Give us a lift there!
And what is that? Help him!
It's off some wreck. Well, I never saw so huge a billow as toss this upon shore.
Set it down, set it down!
Tis like a coffin.
Well, there it be. It was wondrous heavy.
Wrench it open, straight. How close it is corked and betumed. Set to. Soft. It smells most sweetly.
A delicate odour.
Has ever hit my nostril. So, up with it. Oh, you most potent god, what's here? A corpse.
Enshrouded.
And in cloth of state, balmed, entreasured, with full bags of spices, a letter, too. Apollo, perfect me in the characters. Here I give to understand if
e'er... Here I give to understand if e'er this coffin drive a land, I, King Pericles, have lost a queen worth all the whole world's cost. Who finds her, give her burying. She was the daughter of a king.
If thou livest, Pericles, thou hast a heart that's surely drowned with woe. This chance tonight?
Most likely, she...
Nay, certainly tonight. For look how fresh she is. Stand back. They were too rough that threw her in the sea. Make fire within. Fetch hither all the boxes in my closet. Death may usurp on nature many hours, and yet the fire of life kindle again the oppressed spirits. I have read of some Egyptians who, after 4 hours, have raised impoverished bodies like to this, unto their former health. The fire and cloths! Stand back. The rough and woeful music that we have, cause it to sound, beseech you. That vial once more. Stand back. Once more, stand back. Now thou stirrest, thou block. The music there. I pray you, give her air. Gentlemen, this queen will live. Nature awakes the warm breath out of her. See?
She's alive.
She's alive. Her eyelids. Cases to those heavenly jewels which Pericles had lost begin to part their fringes of bright gold. 2 diamonds of a most prized water do appear to make the world twice rich. Live and make us weep to hear your fate, fair creature.
Oh, dear Diana. Where am I? Where's my lord? What world is this?
Is not this strange?
Most rare.
Hush. Your lord's well. Lend me your hands. That's it. Come. To the next chamber, bear her. Get linen now. This matter must be looked to, for her relapse is mortal. Come, come. And Aesculapius, guide us. That's it.
Most honored Cleon, I must needs be gone. My 12 months are expired, and Tyrus stands in litigious peace. You and your lady take from my heart all thankfulness. The gods make up the rest upon you.
Your strokes of fortune, though they hurt you mortally, yet glance full woundingly on us.
Oh, your
sweet queen.
We cannot but obey the powers above us. Could I rage and roar as doth the sea she lies in, yet the end must be as 'tis. This gentle babe, my Marina, named for she was born at sea, I charge your charity withal, leaving her the infant of your care, beseeching you to give her princely training, that she may be mannered as she was born.
Fear not, my lord. If to that task my nature need a spur, the gods revenge it upon me and mine to the end of generation.
I believe you. Your honor and your goodness teach me to it without your vows. So I take my leave. Good madam, make me blessed in your care in bringing up my child.
Oh, I've won myself. Give her to me.
Madam, my thanks and prayers.
Come, my lord, come. I'll bring your grace e'en to the edge of the shore. There give you up to the gentlest winds of heaven. Come, sir.
Madam. Oh. This letter and some certain jewels lay with you in your coffer, which are now at your command. Know you the character?
It is, my lords, that I was shipped at sea. I well remember it was near my time. But whether they're delivered by the holy gods, I cannot rightly say. Since my Pericles, my wedded lord, I ne'er shall see again. A vestal livery will I take me to, and nevermore have joy. You've given me life. Now let me live unknown to any man.
Madam, if this you purpose as ye speak, Diana's temple is not distant far, where you may abide until your date expire. Moreover, if you please, a niece of mine could there attend you.
My recompense is thanks, that's all. Yet my goodwill is great, though the gift small.
Shush, 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 shush. Sleep now. Sleep.
Sleep. This woeful queen we leave at Ephesus, unto Diana there a votaress. Pericles we settle in Tyre. Welcome, though he's lost his heart's desire. Now, to Marina bend your mind, whom our fast-growing scene must find here at Tarsus. She's by Cleon trained in music, letters. Soon she's gained of education all the grace which makes her both the heart and place of general wonder. But alack, that monster, envy, off the rack of earned praise, Marina's life seeks to take off by treason's knife. And in this kind hath our Cleon a daughter. This maid hight Philoten, and it is said for certain in our story she would ever with Marina be. Be it when she weaved the finest silk with fingers long, small, white as milk, or when to the lute she sang and made the night bird mute, or when she wrote with rich and constant pen, whenever still this Philoten contends in skill with absolute Marina. So with dove might a crow vie feathers. Marina gets all praise. This so darks in Philoten all graceful marks, that Cleon's wife, Dionysa, with envy rare, presently a murder does prepare for good Marina, that her daughter might stand peerless by this slaughter. By Corridor, the nurse is dead. And cursed Dionysa hath a pregnant instrument of wrath ripe for this blow. She does appear with Leonine, a murderer.
It is but a blow, which never shall be known. Thou canst not do a thing in the world so quick to yield thee so much profit. Let not conscience, which is but cold, or flaming love thy bosom enslave too nicely, nor let pity, which even women have cast off, melt thee, but be a soldier to thy purpose.
I will do it, but yet she is a goodly creature.
The fitter, then, the god should have her. Here she comes, still mourning her old nurse's death. Thou art resolved?
I am resolved.
Well, then. How now, Marina?
Madam.
Why do you keep alone? How chance my daughter is not with you? Come, do not consume your blood with sorrowing. You have a nurse in me.
Why me? Poor maid, born in a tempest where my mother died. This world to me is like a lasting storm, worrying me from my friends.
Lord, how your favour is changed with this unprofitable woe. Come, give me those flowers.
Thanks.
On the sea margent, walk with Leonine. The air is quick there, and it pierces and sharpens the stomach. Come, Leonine, take her by the arm. Walk with her.
No, I pray you. I'll not bereave you of your servant.
Come, come. I love the king, your father, and yourself with more than foreign heart. We every day expect him here. If he shall come and find our paragon to all reports thus blasted, he will repent the breadth of his great voyage, blame both my lord and me. Care not for me. I can proceed alone.
Well, I will go...
Come, come, you know 'tis good for you. Walk half an hour, Leonine, at the least, and do remember what I said.
Madam.
And you... Pray walk softly. Do not heat your blood. What? I must have a care of you.
Madam.
Oh. Oh. Oh, is this wind westerly that blows?
Southwest.
When I was born, the wind was north.
What so?
My father, my nurse said, did never fear, but cried, good seaman, to the sailors, galling his kingly hands, hailing ropes. He endured a sea that almost burst the deck.
Now, when was this?
When I was born. Never were waves nor wind more violent.
Come, say your prayers.
What mean you?
Come on. If you require a little space for prayer, I'll grant it. Pray, but be not tedious, for the gods are quick of ear, and I'm sworn to do my work with haste.
Why would she have me killed? I never did a hurt in all my life.
My commission is not to reason of the deed, but do it.
You will not do it for all the world, I hope. You are well favoured, and your looks for show you have a gentle heart. I saw you lately, when you caught hurt in parting two that fought. Good sooth, it showed well in you. Do so now. Your lady seeks my life. Come you between and save poor me, the weaker.
I am sworn and will dispatch.
Then drawing back his knife to have shed her blood and damned his soul, there came certain pirates, new put to that shore and seeking pillage. Seeing him offer violence to so rare a beauty, they, running all at once toward him, cried,
hold, villain!
What? As you love your life, sir, hold.
Sirrah, that maiden's ours. Now make your heels your best defence and leave the prey to us.
No!
Well, a prize, lads. A prize.
Half part, mate. Half part.
Indeed, she's a goodly beauty. Let's get her aboard.
No. 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 No.
These roguing thieves serve a great pirate, Valdez, and have seized the girl for sale. Let her go. There's no hope she'll return. I'll swear she's dead and thrown into the sea. But I'll see further. Perhaps they will but please themselves upon her, not carry her aboard. If she remain, whom they have ravished must by me be slain.
This Mitalen.
Bolt.
Sir.
Bolt, yeah, go search the market narrowly. Mitalene is full of gallants, but we have lost too much money this month while being wenchless.
Oh, thou sayest true. We were never so much out of creatures. We have but three, and they could do no more than they can do with continual action. They're even as good as rotten.
84. Well, therefore, let's have fresh ones. Whatever we pay for them, huh? If there be not a conscience to be used in every trade, we shall never prosper.
Oh, thou sayest true. The stuff we have, a strong wind will blow it to pieces. They're so pitifully sodden.
87.
And they're unwholesome a conscience. That poor Transylvanian's dead that lay with our little baggage.
Aha, she quickly pooped him. She made him roast meat for worms.
96. Bolt.
I'll go search the market.
102. Ah, 3,000 or 4,000 guineas, huh? That were a pretty proportion to live quietly on, and so give over.
Give over? Why should we give over, I pray you? Is it a shame to get when we're old?
Oh, the commodity wages not with the danger. Besides, the sore terms we stand upon with the gods for our trade should be strong with us for giving over. Oh,
thou sayest true, but other trades offend as well as we. I am better too. Neither is our profession a trade. It's a calling. Oh, here comes Bolt again.
Come your ways, my masters.
Oh.
You say she's a virgin. Virgin? Sir, we doubt it not.
I'm glad to hear it. Welcome, gentlemen. But has the girl any qualities?
As you see, a good face, an excellent good clothes. She also speaks well. There's no further necessity of qualities.
No.
Oh, indeed.
What's her price, Bolt?
They cannot be baited one dight of 1,000 pieces.
No.
Oh. Well, follow me, my masters. You shall have your money presently. Wife, instruct her what she has to do, that she may not be raw in her entertainment. Gentlemen.
Right, my girl. Bolt. Note you the marks of her. Yeah. Colour of her hair, complexion, height, age, with warrant of her virginity. Cry the market that he that will give most shall have her first. Such a maidenhead were no cheap thing, if men were as they have been. Get this done as I command you. Now!
Performance shall follow.
Are you a virgin?
The gods, I thank, I have not ever known or think to know another state in life.
In being so, you have been well, but now, in plain terms, I must teach you to be worse.
That is not goodness, madam, so to teach.
Well, madam, goodness is a lecture we use seldom here. Therefore, attend...
Oh, alas, that Leonine was so slack, so slow. he should have struck, not spoke. Or that these pirates, not barbarous enough, did not overboard throw me for to seek my mother.
Why lament you, pretty one?
That I am pretty.
Come, the gods have done their part in you.
I accuse them not.
And you are light into my hands now, where you are like to live.
The more my mischance to scape his hands, where I was like to die.
And you shall live in pleasure.
No.
Yes, indeed shall you, and taste gentlemen of all complexions. Why do you stop your ears?
Are you a woman?
What would you have me be, and I not be a woman?
An honest woman, or not a woman.
Marry, whip thee, gosling. I think I shall have something to do with you. Come, you are a young, foolish sapling and must be bowed.
The gods defend me.
It may please the gods to defend you, but it's men must comfort you, men must feed you, men must stir you up. Oh, Bolt. Hast thou cried her through the market?
I've cried her almost to the number of her hairs. I've drawn her picture with me voice.
And tell me, how dost thou find the inclination of the people, especially of the younger sort?
Faith, they listened to me as they would have hearkened to their father's testament. There was a Spaniard, his mouth so watered that he went to bed to her very description.
Well, pretty one, you have fortunes coming to you. Weep if you must. Seldom but that pity begets good opinion in a customer, and good opinion, profit.
I understand you not.
Oh, Tekerome, Mistress Tekerome. These blushes of hers must be quenched with some present practice.
I say it's true, if faith so they must.
Mistress, since I've bargained for the joint...
Thou mayest cut a morsel off the spit later. Here, go spend these shillings in the town. Report what a sojourner we have. When nature framed this piece, she meant thee a good turn, Bolt. Say what a paragon she is, and thou hast further harvest out of thine own report later.
Mistress, thunder shall not so await the beds of eels, as my giving out her beauty shall stir up the lewdly inclined. I'll bring some home tonight.
Come your ways, dear, follow me.
If fires be hot, knives sharp, or waters deep, untied I still my virgin knot will keep. Diana, aid my purpose.
What have we to do with Diana?
Now. Time I waste. Longest leagues make short. Sail seas in cockles. Have when a wish but fought. For our Pericles now thwarts again the wayward seas, till the winds have brought him here, to Tarsus. Think his pilot. Thought, your thought, steering him on to fetch his daughter home, but she is gone.
She was of Tyrus, the king's daughter. Marina was she called, and at her birth, Thetis, being proud, swallowed some part of the earth. Therefore, the earth...
Oh, Dionysa! Such a piece of slaughter the sun and moon ne'er looked upon! What wilt thou say when noble Pericles shall demand his girl?
She died at night, I'll say. Who can cross it? Unless you play the pious innocent, and for an honest attribute cry out, she died by foul play.
Oh, go to. Of all the faults beneath the heavens, the gods do like this worst.
Be it so, then. Yet none does know but you how she came dead, nor none can know, Leonine being gone.
What?
She did disdain my child, and stood between her and her fortunes. None would look on her. And though you call my course unnatural, you not your child well loving, yet I find it greets me as an enterprise of kindness performed for our sole daughter.
Heavens forgive it.
And as for Pericles, what should he say? We wept after her hearse, and when he comes we'll mourn.
Thou art like the harpy,
which does betray with an angel's face, seize with an eagle's talons.
You are like one that superstitiously doth swear to the gods 'tis winter kills the flies. But yet, I know you'll do as I advise. Come.
Now Pericles arrives on shore. His daughter's loss he's told of, and wherefore?
No, no, Marina.
My lord.
Marina!
Oh, my lord. My lord!
Pericles, in sorrow all devoured, with sighs shot through, with tears o'ershowered, leaves Tarsus and again embarks. He swears never to wash his face nor cut his hairs. He puts on sackcloth and to sea. He bears a tempest which his mortal vessel tears, and yet he rides it out. Let Pericles believe his daughter's dead, and bear his courses to be ordered by Lady Fortune. For our scene must play his daughter's woe and heavy well-a-day in her unholy service. Patience, then, and think you now all back in Mytilen.
Well, did you ever hear the like?
No. Nor never shall do in such a place as this, she being once gone.
To have divinity preached here.
Did you ever dream of such a thing?
No, I am for no more bawdy houses. Shall's go hear the Vestals sing.
I'll do anything now that is virtuous, for I am out of the road of rutting forever.
I'd rather twice the worth of her. She'd never come here.
We must either get her ravished or be rid of her. When she should do for the clients her fitment and do me the kindness of our profession, she has me her quirks, her reasons, her master reasons, her prayers, her knees. She'd make a Puritan of the devil.
Faith, mistress, I must ravish her.
Pox upon her green sickness.
There's no way to be rid on't but by getting her... Oh, who is it now?
I tell you, she'll make all our swearers priests.
Oi, here comes the Lord Lysimachus, disguised.
If the peevish baggage would but give way to the customers, we should have both lords and loons.
How now? How much a dozen virginities?
Now, the gods bless your honour.
Oh, we're glad to see your honour in good health.
Yeah, you may say so. 'Tis the better for you that your resorters stand upon sound legs. How now, wholesome iniquity have you, that a man may deal with all and defy the surgeon?
We have here one, sir, if she would... But there never came her like in Mytilene.
She'll do the deed of darkness, thou would say.
Oh, your honour.
Well, call forth. Call forth.
Bolt, the girl.
Anon, sir.
For flesh and blood, sir, white and red, you shall see a rose. And she were a rose indeed, if she had but been...
What, prithee?
Oh, sir, I can be modest.
That dignifies the renown of a board.
Is she not a fair creature? Never plucked yet, I can assure you.
Faith, she would serve after a long voyage at sea. Well, there's for you all.
Oh, yeah.
Leave us.
I beseech your honour, give me leave. A word. I'll have done presently.
I beseech you, do.
First, madam, I would have you note this is an honourable man.
I desire to find him so.
You need not doubt it, sweetheart, for though I tell it thee in private, which for a million he would not have to be known publicly, he is no worse a man than the governor of this country, and a man I am bound to.
If he govern the country, you are bound to him indeed. But how honourable he is in that, I know not.
Pray you, without any more virginal fencing, will you use him kindly? He will line your apron with gold.
What he will do graciously, I will thankfully receive.
Have you done?
My lord, she's not paced yet. You must take some pains to work her to your manage. Come, we will leave his honour and her together. Go thy way, madam.
Now, pretty one, how long have you been at this trade?
What trade, sir?
Why, I cannot name it, but I shall offend.
I cannot be offended by a trade. Please you to name it.
How long have you been at this profession?
Ever since I can remember.
Did you go to it so young? Were you a gamester at 5 or at 7?
Earlier, too, sir, if now I be one.
Why, the house you dwell in proclaims you to be a creature of sale.
And do you know this house to be a place of such resort, and will come into it? I hear say you are of honourable parts, and are the governor of this place.
Hath your principal made known unto you who I am?
Who is my principal?
Why, your herb woman, she that sets seeds and roots of shame and iniquity, your mistress. Oh! You have heard something of my power, and so stand aloof for more serious wooing. Oh, I protest to thee, pretty one. My authority shall not see thee, or else look friendly on thee. Come, bring me to some private place. Come.
If you were born to honour, show it now. If put upon you, make the judgment good that thought you worthy of it.
What's this?
Oh, that the gods would set me free from this unhallowed place. Though they did change me to the meanest bird that flies in the purer air.
But this house wherein thou livest is the receptacle of all men's sins, the nurse of wickedness. How canst thou then be otherwise than naught that livest here?
And you, it's good that you, who are a governor, who should live well, the better to be bold to punish ill, knowing it's such a roof, yet come under it, is a necessity my yet, good lord. There being fire before you, you must straight than hither fly and burn yourself. Oh, my good lord, kill me, but not deflower me. She asks of you that does not use to kneel.
Rise. I did not think thou couldst have spoke so well, nor dream thou couldst. Had I brought hither a corrupter mind, thy speech had altered it. Come, rise. Oh, hold, here's gold for thee. Persevere in that clear way thou goest, and the gods strengthen thee.
The good gods preserve you.
Fare thee well. Oh, thou art a piece of virtue, and I doubt not but thy training hath been noble. Hold, here's more gold for thee. A curse upon him. Die he like a thief that robs thee of thy goodness. If thou dost hear from me, it shall be for thy good.
I beseech your honour, a coin for me.
Avaunt, thou damned doorkeeper. Your house, but for this virgin that doth prop it, would sink and overwhelm you. Away!
How's this? We must take another course with you. If your peevish chastity, which is not worth the cheapest breakfast in the country, shall undo a whole household, let me be gelded like a spaniel. Come your ways.
Whither will you have me?
I would have your maidenhead. Come your ways. We'll have no more gentlemen driven away. Come your ways, I say.
What's the matter?
Bolt.
The matter, mistress? Worse and worse. She has here spoken holy words to the Lord Lysimachus.
How abominable!
She makes our profession, as it were, to stink afore the face of the gods.
Marry, hang her up forever.
The nobleman would have dealt with her like a nobleman, and she sent him away as cold as a snowball. saying his prayers too.
Bolt, take her away. Use her at thy pleasure. Crack the glass of her virginity and make the rest of her malleable.
And if she were a thornier piece of ground than she is, she shall be ploughed.
Hark, hark, you god!
Oh, she conjures! Way with her! Would she had never come within my doors? Marry, hang you! She's born to undo us. Why should you not go the way of all womankind? Mary, come up my dish of chastity.
Oh, here you come, come. Oh. Bolt, do with her what you would.
Come, mistress, resolve yourself. Without more whining. I am but the board's servant, but the board hath commanded me. And every servant, by the indenture of his duty, is bound to obey.
Prithee, tell me one thing first.
Come now, you one thing.
What canst thou wish thine enemy to be?
Why, I could wish him to be my master, or rather, my mistress.
Neither of these are so bad as thou art. Thou holdst a place for which the painedest fiend of hell would not in reputation change.
What would you have me do? Go to the wars, would you? Where a man may serve 7 years for the loss of a leg and not have enough money at the end of it to buy him a wooden one.
Do anything but this thou doest. Empty old receptacles or common shores of filth, served by indenture to the common hangman. Any of these ways are yet better than this. For what thou professest, a baboon, could he speak, would own a name too dear. Oh, that the gods would safely deliver me from this place. Hold. Here. Here's gold for thee. Take it. Take it!
Oh!
If that thy master would gain more by me, as thou didst before proclaim my beauty, go now into the marketplace and there proclaim that I can sing, weave, sew, and dance, and I will undertake all these to teach. I doubt not but that this popular city will yield many scholars.
Can you teach all that?
Prove that I cannot. Bring me home again and prostitute me to the basest groom that doth frequent this house.
Well, I'll see what I can do for thee. If I can place thee, I will.
But amongst honest women?
Faith, my acquaintance lies little amongst them. Come, I'll do for thee what I can. Come your ways.
Marina, thus the brothel scapes and chances into an honest house, our story says. She sings like one immortal and she dances as a goddess-like to her admired lays. Pupils lacks she none of noblest race. They pour their bounty on her and her gain she gives the cursed board. There we her leave. And to her father turn our thoughts again, where we left him on the sea. The sea. We there him lost, but driven before the winds, he now arrives at Mytilene. And off this coast, suppose him now at anchor. The city strives great Neptune's annual feast to keep, from whence Lysimachus a Tyrian ship espies, the sails all sable, trimmed with rich expense, and to it in a barge with fervor hies. Into your hearing once more put your sight of heavy Pericles, think this the bark, where what is to be done, this sacred night shall be discovered. Please you still, and hark. Faithful Helicane sits watching every breath, perplexed his mind and longing now for death.
Sir, Lord Helicane, forgive me, sir. There's a barge put off from Mytilene. In it's Lysimachus, the governor. Hearing of our king's distemperature, he craves to come aboard. What is your will?
That he have his.
Sir.
Sleep quiet, my lord. Know that you are watched, and well.
This way, gentlemen.
Hail, Reverend Haligang. The gods preserve you.
And you, sir, to outlive the age I am, and die as I would do.
You wish me well. Being on shore, honoring of Neptune's triumphs, seeing this goodly vessel right before us, we made to it to know of whence you are.
First, what is your position?
The governor of this place you lie before, and this is my secretary.
Sir. Good sirs, our vessel is of Tyre, in it the king. A man who for 3 months hath not spoken to anyone, nor taken sustenance, but to prolong his grief.
Upon what ground is his distemperature?
'Twould be too tedious to repeat. But the main grief springs from the loss of a beloved daughter and a wife.
May we not see him?
You may, but bootless is your sight. He will not speak to any.
Yet, let me obtain my wish.
My lord. Behold him, then. This was a goodly person, till disaster drove him to this.
Prince Pericles?
The same. He lies thus always.
Sir King, all hail. The gods preserve you. Hail, royal sir.
It is in vain. He will not speak to you.
Sir, if I might, there is the maid from Mytilene. I durst wager she'd win some words of him.
'Tis well bethought. She, questionless, with her sweet harmony, could make battery through his deafened ports. She has great wisdom in persuasion.
Sir, she is without and could attend.
Send then, and at once.
Sir.
Sure, all's effectless. Yet nothing will omit that bears recovery's name.
Sir, once more, let me entreat you to know at large the cause of your king's sorrow.
Well, sit, sir. I will recount it to you. But see, I am prevented.
In here, madam.
Oh, here is the lady that I sent for. Welcome, fair one.
My lord.
It's not a goodly present, sir.
She's a gallant lady.
All goodness consists in beauty. Marina, here is a kingly patient. If that thy prosperous artifice and fate can draw him but to answer thee in aught, thy sacred physic shall receive such pay as thy desires can wish.
This is a king.
Indeed.
Sir, I will use my utmost skill in his recovery, provided none but I be suffered to come near him when I sing.
Let us leave you then. Sirs?
God save you, sir. Whoever you may be. This lock of hair falls loose. In music sweet, there lies such art, killing care and grief of heart. Fall asleep and hearing die in the waves, hide their heads and then. Hail, sir. My lord. Lend ear. Oh.
I am a maid, my lord, that ne'er before invited eyes but have been gazed on like a comet. She speaks, my lord, that maybe hath endured a grief might equal yours, if both were justly weighed. Though wayward fortune did malign my state, my derivation was from ancestors who stood equivalent with mighty kings, but time hath rooted out my parentage into the world, and awkward casualties bound me in servitude. Sir, I will desist. But there is something glows upon my cheek and whispers in mine ear, go not till he speak.
Oh, my fortunes, parentage, good parentage, to equal mine. Was it not thus? What say you?
I said, my lord, if you did know my parentage, you would not do me violence.
I do think so. Pray you turn your eyes upon me. You are like something that... What country, woman? Here, of these shores?
No, nor of any shores. Yet I was mortally brought forth, and am no other than I appear.
I am great with woe, and shall deliver weeping. My dearest wife was like this maid, and such a one my daughter might have been. My queen's square brows, her stature to an inch, as wand-like straight, as silver-voiced, her eyes as jewel-like. Where do you live?
Where I am but a stranger. From the deck you may discern the place.
Where were you bred?
If I should tell my history, it would seem like lies disdained in the reporting. So I...
Prithee, stay. Speak. I will believe thee, and make my senses credit to thy relation in points that seem impossible. For thou lookest like one I loved indeed. Didst thou not say when I did push thee back, which was when I perceived thee, that thou camest from good descending?
So indeed I did.
Tell thy story. Who were thy friends? How lost thou them? Thy name, my most kind virgin. Recount, I do beseech thee, come, sit by me.
My name is Marina.
Oh, I am mocked.
The name was given me by one that had some power. My father and a king.
How? A king's daughter and called Marina?
You said you would believe me, but not to be a troubler of your peace. I will end here.
Are you flesh and blood? Have you a working pulse and are no spirit? Motion? Where were you born? And wherefore called Marina?
Called Marina, for I was born at sea.
At sea? What mother?
My mother was the daughter of a king, who died the minute I was born. As my good nurse, Lycorridor, hath oft delivered weeping.
Oh, stop there a little. This is the rarest dream that e'er dull sleep did mock sad fools withal. This cannot be. My daughter's buried. Well, where were you bred?
You'll scarce believe me. Twere best I did give o'er.
I will believe you, by the syllable of what you shall deliver. So, give me leave. How came you in these parts? Where were you bred?
The king, my father, did in Tarsus leave me. Till cruel Cleon, with his wicked wife, did seek to murder me, and having wooed a villain to attempt it, who having drawn would do it, a crew of pirates rescued me, brought me here to Mytilene. Good sir, whither will you have me? Why do you weep? You think me an impostor? No, good faith. I am the daughter to King Pericles. If good King Pericles be...
Oh, Helicanus!
Called, my lord?
Thou art a grave, noble counsellor, most wise in general. Tell me, if thou canst, what this maid is, or what is like to be that thus hath made me weep.
I know not, but here is the regent, sir, of Mytilene, speaks nobly of her.
She would never tell me her parentage, being demanded that she would sit still and weep.
Oh! Helicanus, strike me on it, sir. Give me a gash, put me to present pain, lest this great sea of joys rushing upon me o'erbear the shores of my mortality and drown me with their sweetness. Oh, come hither. Thou that begett'st him that did thee beget, thou that was born at sea, buried at Tarsus, and found at sea again. Oh, Helicanus, down on thy knees. Thank the holy gods as loud as thunder threatens us. This is Marina.
Sir?
What was thy mother's name? Tell me but that, for truth can never be confirmed enough, though doubts did ever sleep.
Fair sir, I pray, what is your title?
I am Pericles of Tyre. But tell me now my drowned queen's name. In all the rest you said, thou hast been godlike perfect. Say that. Thou art the heir of kingdoms, and another life to Pericles, thy father.
Is it no more to be your daughter, then, than to say my mother's name? Thaisa was my mother, who did end the minute I began.
Now, blessing on thee. Come, thou art my child. Oh. Helicanus.
Sir.
Oh, give me fresh garments, mine own. She is not dead at Tarsus as she should have been by savage Cleon. She shall tell thee all, when thou shalt kneel and justify in knowledge she is thy very princess. Who is this?
'Tis the governor of Mytilene, who, hearing of your melancholy state, did come to see you.
I embrace you, sir. Oh, give me my robes. I am wild in my beholding. Oh, heavens bless my girl! But hark, that music.
Sir?
Oh, tell Helicanus, my Marina, tell him, oh, point by point, for yet he seems to doubt how sure you are my daughter. Oh, but what music!
My lord, I hear none.
None? Oh, the music of the spheres. List, my Marina.
It is no good to cross him. Give him way.
Father?
Rarest sounds. Do ye not hear music?
My lord, I hear...
Oh, most heavenly music. It nips me unto listening, and thick slumber hangs upon mine eyes. Me. Rest.
A pillow for his head! Quick! Sir!
My lord!
My lord!
Sir!
A pillow, quick!
Sir!
What's here!
Sir!
Leave him!
Sir!
His senses mastered, see, he falls, and in that sleep a goddess calls, heavenly Diane, and thus she speaks. My temple stands in Ephesus, thither, and do upon mine altar sacrifice. Then my maiden priests, being met together, confess and tell them of your strange life's price. Reveal your sins before the people all, how to the sea thou didst once cast thy wife, to mourn thy crosses with thy daughters. Call and give them repetition to the life, or perform my bidding, or thou livest in woe. Do it and be happy by my silver bow. Now awake, awake, and tell thy dream.
Celestial Diane, goddess sir, Argentine.
Sir, royal sir! 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 Royal sir!
Hyrcanus.
Sir.
My purpose was for Tarsus, there to strike the inhospitable Cleon. But I am for other service first. Toward Ephesus turn our blown sails. After, I'll tell thee why. Lysimachus?
Here.
Assist me. We shall refresh us, sir, upon your shore. We'll give you gold for such provision as our intent shall need.
Royal sir, with all my heart. And when you come ashore, I have another suit.
You shall prevail, were it to woo my daughter. For it seems you have been noble towards her.
Oh, here, sir!
Father.
Lend her your arm.
Aye. Aye. Come. Come, my Marina. My Marina.
Now our sands are almost run, more a little, and then dumb, this my last boon. That you aptly will suppose, what pageantry, what feasts, what shows, what minstrelsy and pretty din, this regent made in Mytilene to greet the king. So he thrived that he is promised to be wived to fair Marina, but in no wise till Pericles had done his sacrifice, as Diane bade, whereto being bound. The interim, pray you, all confound in feathered briefness. Sails are filled, and wishes fall out as they're willed. Now Diane's statue bring to view, wise Cerimon attending too, at Ephesus the temple see, our king and all his company. That he can hither come so soon, by your imagination's done.
Hail, Diane. To perform thy just command, I here confess myself, the king of Tyre, who frighted from my country did wed at Pentapolis, fair Thaisa. At sea in childbed died she, but brought forth this maid child called Marina. She, at Tarsus, was nursed with Cleon, who at 14 years her sought to murder. But her better stars brought her to Mytilene. Gainst two shore riding, her fortunes brought the maid aboard us. Where?
Oh.
By her own most clear remembrance.
Oh. You.
She made known herself my daughter.
You. Oh. Royal Pericles!
What means this, nun?
Oh.
She dies! Help me here! Help me!
Help her! Somebody help her!
Madam!
Let me through.
Madam!
Let me through! Let me through. Noble sir, if you have told Diana's all too true, this is your wife.
No.
No.
Someone look to the lady. She's but overjoyed. Early one blustering morn, this lady was, upon this shore, cast up. I oped the coffin, found their rich jewels, recovered her, and placed her here in Diana's temple.
Let me look. Let me look! Oh, my lord. Are you not Pericles? Like him you spake, like him you are. Did you not name a tempest, a birth and death?
The voice of dead Thaisa.
That Thaisa am I, supposed dead and drowned. My lord, your hand. Your hand.
Oh, you heavens. Are we again contracted? Come. Be buried a second time within these arms.
My heart leaps to be gone into my mother's bosom.
Look who stands here. Flesh of thy flesh, Thaisa. Thy burden at the sea, and called Marina, for she was yielded there.
Oh! Blessed and mine own.
In Antiochus and his daughter, you have heard of monstrous lust, the due and just reward. In Pericles, his queen and daughter seen, although assailed with fortune fierce and keen, virtue preserved from fell destruction's blast, led on by heaven and crowned with joy at last. In Helicanus, may you well descry a figure of truth, of faith, of loyalty. In reverend Cerimon there well appears the worth that learned charity aye wears. For wicked Cleon and his wife, when fame had spread their cursed deed to the honored name of Pericles, to rage the people turn, and him and his they in his palace burn. The gods for murder seemed content to punish them, although not done, but meant. So on your patience evermore attending, new joy wait on you. Here, our play has ending.
Pericles, by William Shakespeare, was adapted for radio and directed by Neil Bartlett. Gower was played by Willard White. Pericles was Papa Isiedu. Dionysa and Lycorida, Adjua Ando. Thaisa was Sarah Mallin. Helicanus and Pandar, Colin Hurley. Cleon and Bolt, Barry Rutter. Cerimon and the Board, Tamsin Griffin. Marina, Laura Rees. Leonine and Simonides, Martin Turner. Antiochus and Lysimachus, Mark Straker. The trio was Tim Chipping, Martin Bassendale and Oscar Batterham. Marina's song was composed by Simon Deacon. The pianist was Joseph Yannick. And the producer was Taran Ali. Pericles was a Bona Broadcasting production for BBC Radio 3.
You can
can find more editions of Drama on Three on our website. Next week, it's 1945, and the composer Richard Strauss is visited at home by two American GIs who want to interview him. Hide the Moon by Martin Wade is our Drama on Three at the same time, 9 o'clock next Sunday evening.
In the 1960s, one family did more than most to revive the fortunes of English folk music.
They sing in folk clubs all over the country. They travel around in an old van. They positively shun the limelight. These are the Watersons.
We were absolutely enthralled to the music. We were excited by our own tradition.
The Waterson family returns to their home city of Hull for a live concert at Radio 3's Uproot Festival next Friday at 7:30.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 11 o'clock this Sunday night, and time now for Early Music Late, presented by Simon Hayes.
Tonight, we're at the famous Tivoli Gardens, one of the oldest amusement parks in the world, opened in Copenhagen in 1843, and now home to the Tivoli Music Festival. We're joining them for a performance of Handel's youthful masterpiece, the cantata Apollo and Daphne, given last year by Denmark's premier period instrument orchestra, the appropriately named Concerto Copenhagen. Handel wrote most of his cantatas whilst he was learning his trade as a young composer in Italy. Most of these cantatas were lightweight pieces, exploring the vicissitudes of love, which, as convention demanded, were played out in a stylized never-never land of lush pastoral groves, inhabited by fickle nymphs and shallow shepherds, endlessly bemoaning the bittersweet pains of Cupid's arrows. Handel wrote several hundred such cantatas for soirées at the palaces of the great and good in Venice, Florence and Rome. Mostly they were quite modest affairs for a single singer and simple continuo accompaniment. But in Rome, where public opera was forbidden, the cantata really flourished and many works grew to mini operatic proportions, requiring a small orchestra and several singers in real character roles. And this is what we'll be hearing this evening in Handel's most ambitious cantata, Apollo and Daphne. But it wasn't necessarily written for an Italian patron at all. Although Handel started work on Apollo and Daphne in Venice in 1709, he composed most of the music after he'd moved to Hanover the following year. So maybe the cantata was really intended to impress Handel's new German employer. And there was much to impress. Handel not only experimented with the latest Italian styles and textures, but his powers of melodic invention were on fire. As we'll hear in a moment, much of the music has a ring of familiarity about it, because in later life, Handel used Apollo and Daphne as a quarry, mining its finest arias for his greatest new operas in London. The cantata opens with the god Apollo on a high, basking in adulation, having just saved Greece from the menaces of a fearful python. Feeling rather full of himself, he boasts that even Cupid's archery is no match for his powers with a bow and arrow. How wrong he is! No sooner has he set down his bow than Apollo sets eyes on Daphne, and of course he's instantly smitten. Overawed or distrustful, she very sensibly rejects his advances, so